devil's worst nightmare. Let's stand together, shall we? The devil's worst nightmare. Praise God. Well, I'm going to go all over the book here tonight, but if I were going to have a place to start, this might be a good one here. Look in Acts chapter 4. Let's go to the Acts chapter 4. And look at verse 16. The council called the apostles John and Peter. Brought them. Now, this is the same council that had crucified Jesus Christ about 50 days before these events. This is the same council that Peter was so afraid of that he cursed Jesus and was afraid of a little girl. Same council, same men, same ugly, hateful, spiteful, demonic spirit. But my, what a difference the Holy Ghost makes. Now these same men that had fled now stand before that council. And here's what was said. The council said, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, as manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it." Boy, now that's a dilemma, huh? This world's trying the best it can to deny. I'm reading all the time. It comes up all the time. Jesus never existed. He's a figment of people's imagination. They're still trying the same old lies, folks. I said they're still trying the same old lies. And the same kind of people. They got all kinds of, they got more degrees than a thermometer. And thinks that makes them an authority. Amen. But and they'll deny the existence of Jesus Christ. But there's some things you just can't deny. They said there's a notable miracle and we can't deny it. So what's next? But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them. Everybody say threaten. Let us straightly threaten them. Amen. That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And what was their reply? The 20th verse. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The devil is not afraid of religion. In the United States of America, there are more, this from years ago, this statistic, there's more than 1,200 religions just in our country. The devil's not afraid of religion. He likes religion. He uses religion. 9-11 tells us that religion can be used for evil purposes. Amen. Even Christians have, in the name of religion, done some bad things. And we just might as well admit it. There are people today that do bad things in the name of Christianity. There are people that hate people because they're a different color in the name of Christianity. Amen. Some churches are white supremacist, others are black power. And all of them trying to do the same thing. Hate who's supposed to be your brother. Amen. That doesn't sound like a Jesus that I know. Amen. Praise God. He created all men. Amen. Praise God. He wants everybody to be saved. The scripture said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is His stated will tonight. You don't even have to pray if that's the will of God. He's already said it. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know if we ought to try to win some people. You know, they've got a bad reputation." He's already answered that for you. "I don't know if we ought to have people like that in our church. It might give our church a bad reputation. On the other hand, it might bring the church a revival." Amen. Praise God. You can't get much worse than the guy Jesus dealt with. Didn't even have any clothes on. His body was scarred with scabs and wounds and scars. Amen. And Jesus didn't turn him away because of his condition. But he cast out the demons. And when they saw him, amen, he was clothed and at peace in his right mind. Hallelujah. And he brought a revival to an entire region of the world. Amen. Praise God. Hey, the devil's not afraid of religion. Religion doesn't bother him. You know what? Let me just take another step here. Signs and miracles don't really upset him a whole lot. I've heard people say, "Well, Brother Grissom, if we could just have some miracles, we'd have revival." Maybe. Maybe. How many of you tonight know a miracle that's not sitting on this pew? Raise your hand. How many? You know somebody, God did a miracle for them, but they're not here tonight. They're not even serving God tonight. They're as backslid as they can be tonight. Some of them are as coarse and ungodly and hateful and spiteful as they can possibly be. And yet they had a miracle in their life. An undeniable miracle in their life. Miracles don't bother the devil. Nobody saw more miracles than Israel saw. When God brought them out of Egypt to the Exodus, and my, you talk about miracle after miracle after miracle. Every bite they ate was a miracle. The shoes on their feet were a miracle. The clothes on their back was a miracle. The water that they drank was a miracle. The cloud that led them by day was a miracle. The fire that warmed them by night was a miracle. Everywhere they turned, miracles, 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 miracles. Miracles. And yet it wasn't very long before they made a golden calf and said, "This is the God that brought us out of Egypt." The devil's not afraid of miracles. I'm not against miracles. I think we need to see more of them, and God, please grant that we do. We need to see that. We want to see that. But that's not what bothers the devil. That's not what he trembles at. That's not that's not his nightmare. Amen. I'm going to tell you what did they tell those apostles? Huh? They said, "Don't you do any more miracles?" "Oh, no, no, no." They said, "Don't you start another religion?" "No, no, 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 no." What was it they said? They said, "You've got to quit preaching in that name. You've got to quit preaching in that name." That's the devil's worst nightmare, is when the church gets off of its knees and it stands up and it marches boldly forth and it proclaims the glory and the beauty and the majesty and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When the church begins to preach the almighty word of God, that's when the devil starts shaking. Oh, he can't stand before that, because the Bible said he's the father of lies and the truth is not in him. So when the church stands up and preaches the truth, it causes him to tremble. Amen. He doesn't care how many people you have in church. He doesn't care how beautiful your church is. He doesn't care how much money's in your offering. He doesn't care about any of that. But when you start preaching the truth, oh, when you take a stand for the truth, when you love the truth, when you buy the truth. And you say, I won't sell it. I won't give it up. Amen. You get it down deep inside of you and you love it more than life itself. That's what makes the devil have a nightmare. Oh, he says, we can't handle that kind of church. Hallelujah. We can't handle that kind of church in the world. We can handle lukewarm churches. We can handle beautiful churches. We can handle beautiful people. But we can't handle that truth business. We can't have that. So let's make the church popular. Let's make the church loved. Let's make the church say, don't preach doctrine because it'll separate you. Yes, it will. You better believe it'll separate you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, I've heard people say it. I hear them say it so often, and I dispute it every time I hear it, kindly and in the right spirit. But I'm telling you, I hate people saying, doctrine divides us. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. True doctrine always unifies us. The Bible says, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says, and they continued steadfastly. Everybody say, steadfastly. Steadfastly in the apostles. What? Doctrine. 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 What did the apostles preach? Doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching. Amen. I've heard folks say, I don't like teaching. Teaching is boring. Grow up! Amen. Praise God. Let me show you a picture here. Go with me to the book of Corinthians here. Amen. Praise God. In the book of Corinthians, no, let me go to Hebrews first. The book of Hebrews, let's start in chapter 5. The Apostle Paul was preaching to the church, teaching, and he was on to something. Man, he was getting fired up. He was really getting with it. Amen. Look at verse number 11. Let's start right there. He said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Woo! Boy, you think he wasn't tough? Hey, he just kind of said it there, didn't he? He said, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as... Wait a minute, I blew my page here. Such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What in the world are you saying, Paul? He's saying some people never grow up. Amen. Hey, we love Acts 2:38, and we ought to love Acts 2:38. We ought to always love Acts 2:38, but that's not the only message in the book. Amen. That's not all there is to living for God. Amen. Some people never get beyond John 3:16. That's a wonderful verse. Wonderful verse. Powerful verse. Deep, marvelous, profound verse. Amen. But that's, some people never get beyond that. Some people never get beyond judge not that you be not judged, and they don't want anybody judging them. And if you say anything critical, you're judging me. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews said, you need to grow up. Now, look at verse number 6, he said, chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, a lot of preachers, and I want to dwell here just a minute because I want you to see what that really is saying. I've heard preachers see, the writer of Hebrews is saying, you don't need to preach doctrine. Doctrine is for babes. Amen. You don't have to preach that. Once really mature people, they talk about the deep things of God. They don't talk about things like doctrine. They don't talk about things like baptism. They don't talk about things like receiving the Holy Ghost. They don't talk about things like speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. They don't talk about things like separation and holiness. They don't talk about stuff like that. Spiritual people talk about the deep things. Huh? Is that what he's saying? Is he really saying, hey, let's don't talk about doctrine anymore? Is that what he's saying? No, sir. That's not what he said. Listen to this. He said, let us go into perfection. Now listen to this. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. For this we do, if God permit. Listen closely to what he's saying. He said, not laying again the foundation. What Paul is saying is, you got to have a solid foundation before you can build anything else. Anybody that's ever built a house knows you got to have a good foundation. If you don't have a foundation, your house is going to fall. Your problems begin with a foundation. Isn't that right? If you have a good foundation, you're going to have a strong house and it's going to stand. But if you don't have a good foundation, then you're going to start getting cracks in the doors and cracks in the windows and cracks in the walls and cracks in the ceiling before it all comes tumbling down. Hey, folks, you can't build without a good foundation. And doctrine is the foundation. Amen. That's what we're built on. Amen. Praise God. The scripture says that we are built on the foundation. Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Jesus is the foundation. Amen. That's what we're built on. For no other foundation can, or for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. We're not looking for another foundation. The apostles said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Is Jesus the foundation or is Jesus the cornerstone? The cornerstone is not the foundation. Amen. Is that a contradiction in the scriptures? He says, what did he call the foundation in Acts 2 and 20? He said, the apostles and the prophets. What are the apostles and the prophets? It's the Word of God. Isn't it? Who wrote the prophets? The prophets wrote the prophets. Who wrote the epistles and the New Testament? The apostles wrote it. So that is the Word of God. What is our foundation? The Word of God. What is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There's no contradiction. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the foundation. Amen. Praise God. And then Jesus is the cornerstone. What in the world is the cornerstone? The cornerstone is the most important stone in the building. Because if the cornerstone is not laid right, nothing in the building is going to be right. It's got to be placed perfectly. It has to be perfectly square. If it's off, everything else is going to be off. Amen. Jesus is the foundation. He's the one that everything else follows after. We have to be fitly framed together. Amen. He's got it laid out, folks. We can't just do this thing however we want to do it. If you know anything at all about tall, you look at any building, but especially a tall building, well, you know, it's just a 16th of an inch off. That's not much. But you multiply that by tens of thousands, and how far are you going to be off? You ever seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Somebody didn't pay attention to detail. Somebody didn't pay attention to foundation. Amen. Praise God. Hey, folks, we got to have a solid foundation. And then we got to follow after that cornerstone. Don't lay another one different than that one, but lay after its pattern. Just repeat exactly the way it was done right here. Don't try to change it. Don't try to make it anything that it's not. Just keep straight in line with what's already there. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And Jesus, that cornerstone is what ties the building together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody made this comment. The Bible says we are fitly framed together. Peter said we are lively stones. Brother Holly told us years ago what a lively stone is. If you've ever watched a mason, very interesting to watch people know what they're doing, isn't it? You know, mason, he gets his trowel and he'll score that brick real good. And then he takes his trowel and he smacks it and he hits it and it just breaks off. Amen. That's a lively stone. A lively stone, when you break a piece off and you shape it, it still stays together. But a stone that's not lively just crumbles all to pieces in your hands. There might be a lesson there somewhere. Has the Lord ever done any sawing on you? Has He ever drawn back and took a pretty good whack at your life? And you thought, Lord, what in the world are you doing? But you didn't fall apart. But you didn't crumble. You let Him shape you and make you what you ought to be. Amen. And fitly put you into the place that He wanted you to be and chose for you to be. You see, that's what faith really is, isn't it? Amen. And folks, you know, we kind of want to be what we want to be in the church, right? We all want to be superstars. Huh? But He has a place for you.
There's a thought.
We got folks today looking for the church that fits them. I'm going to find the church that fits me. Because I'm the center of it all. And if it doesn't suit me, then I just won't go there. You're lost. Instead of letting God fit you in somewhere. And He shapes. And the Bible says we are fitly framed. Everybody say together. Amen. You see, if you tried to steal one of these bricks, you got some work on your hands. I had an experience at Bible college a few years ago. We tore down a building that had a wall, a brick wall, between two buildings, separating two large rooms. And we decided we'd knock that down. And that thing had been there for about 50 years. And it was one more major job to get that thing done. I didn't know it stuck like that. I mean to tell you, you took a big sledgehammer and a whole lot of hammering just to make a little bit of progress. I mean, that thing was ever more settled. It was going to be there. You weren't going to just take a little brick out of it. You're going to have to chisel it out. Whereas, if you just got one laying around somewhere, it's easy just to take it away. Amen. You know, some folks, it's easy for them to just get carried away because they never become a part. They always want to be a part. They don't want to fit in. They don't want to find the place. Amen. They don't want to just be put in and become integral with the body. And therefore, it's easy for them to just get carried away. Folks, it's important. Brother Holly said, take a lesson from the banana. Stick with the bunch or you'll get peeled. Praise God. Stick with the bunch or you'll get peeled. Amen. Praise God. And so he fitly frames us together. Jesus is the cornerstone. Amen. Praise God. The devil hates that. You know, in our world today, everybody, you know, we're all supposed to be individuals. Everybody's supposed to be the rebel and the cowboy and standing apart, standing by yourself. Don't need nobody. Right? That's the image. You don't wonder where that comes from. Wonder where that comes from. He likes, that's easy pickings, friend. If he can just get us all separated and scattered and divisions and schisms and all of that, it's easy just to pick it off one by one. Amen. I don't know if you ever read about the Spartans in history, but the Spartans had a certain battle. They formed a wedge when they went into battle. And as they went into battle, they all had their large shields. And the one that was in the front had one on each side of him. And then some were walking sideways like this, and others were walking backward like this. And all they walked as a wedge right through the battlefield. And you couldn't get in there, because everybody was protecting his brother. Amen. Everybody was responsible. And if something happened and one should happen to fall, somebody just stepped in and took his place. Have you ever watched the geese fly? You know how they fly in a V shape? You know what? There's a reason they do that. Because one up in the very front, he's up there, and it's hardest for him because he's bucking against the wind up there, and he's making a way, and he's going through turbulence, and it's easier for those that follow because he's making a way. But he gets weary sometime, and then you watch, and all of a sudden he'll just fall out and fall back, and somebody else moves to the front, and somebody else takes that place for a little while until he gets weary, and then he'll fall back, and somebody else will take the place. Wouldn't it be good if the church could learn how to do that? If somebody didn't have to be the star all the time? Amen. If we could just, everybody, you know, it wasn't my job, but it was, you know, brother, why don't you do this? Amen. And everybody would train somebody to take their place in case they couldn't be there. And we wouldn't be real protective and think that it's ours, but understand that we're just a part of a body here. We're all trying to get to the same place, and we're all working together to get there. Amen. Praise God. And so that's what the devil, that gives him a nightmare when he thinks about a church like that. You talk about a nightmare. He can't handle that. Amen. Praise God. What did Jesus say about a foundation? Let me read that to you from the book of, I believe it's in the book of Matthew. Amen. The 7th chapter. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What are the sayings of Jesus? The word of God. Heareth, and notice this, and doeth them. Not hearers only, but doers also. Said, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Folks, we've got to have a foundation. And our foundation is the Word of God. Amen. We live in a world whose favorite word is tolerance. Christians ought to be the most tolerant people in the world. But don't confuse tolerance and truth. I can tolerate things and I can love people that don't agree with me, but it doesn't change the truth. I don't have to fight people and hate people just because they don't believe what I believe, but it shouldn't change what I believe. It shouldn't change the truth. Amen. That right? We ought to love everybody. There's not anybody. If you, in the heart of a Christian, there shouldn't be anything but love. Give me that old time religion. Makes me Love everybody. And it should. Amen. If you have aught in your heart against anybody, amen, then you need an old-fashioned praying through. There's no place in the heart of a Christian for grudges and hatred. Amen. You talk about tolerant. Yes, we're tolerant. We love everybody. But we know the truth. Amen. Praise God. I hear people say sometimes, well, you know, you people think you're the only ones. Well, I'm sorry, but I just know the truth. I'm not saying I'm the only one. I'm just saying that I know the truth. And the truth set me free. I'm not intolerant. You can believe what you want to believe, but it's not going to change what I believe. Is that all right? Let me just give you a little information. Let me just give you a little, permission here. Hey, folks, it's all right to believe something. It's all right to stand for something. It's all right to take a stand. We live in a world that wants to tolerate everybody but people that believe something. Some educated airhead came up with the idea that there's no such thing as absolute truth. So, somebody says, well, how far is the sun from the earth? Somebody said, well, it's 50 million miles. That's what I believe. And another one says, no. I believe it's 100 million miles. Does it matter? You better believe it matters. It's actually 93 million miles. And if you were 50 million miles, you'd freeze to death. Or you'd burn up. And if you're 100 million miles, you'd freeze to death. It does make a difference. There is absolute truth. Math tells you there's absolute truths. Science tells you there's absolute truths. It's all around us there's absolute truths. Isn't that right? It's everywhere. There's absolute truth everywhere. And there's absolute truth in spirituality and a relationship with God. And it's all right to stand for that. No. There's no place for intolerance. We shouldn't hate anybody. Amen. I've heard people say, if you don't have what I have, you ain't got nothing. If you're not Pentecostal, you ain't nothing. The Bible said, he that believeth that there's a God. That's the first step, isn't it? You've got to believe that he is. And if you believe that he is, you've made a start. It's not enough. But you made a start. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a start. It's not enough. You see, but you got to understand. You got to be tolerant of where people are and then try to bring them on. There was a brilliant preacher in the book of Acts. His name was Apollos. He was a great preacher. He just didn't know the truth. But there was a couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla, and the Bible says they taught him the way more clearly. They didn't bash him or destroy him or belittle him, but they taught him. They didn't make an enemy of him. They made a brother out of him. This is not about winning arguments. This is about winning souls. And he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. And if I may add, tolerant. Amen. You know, some people, they want to just witness to folks one time. And if you don't get it, friends, too late. They say, just blow on by. Go get somebody else if you want it. That's your attitude. Some of you hard heads, it took a while to win you. Shake head like this right here. Yeah, it took me a while. Some of you, when somebody first witnessed to you, you just kind of got mad. And then you got over it and got glad. But you just, you know, somebody was tolerant. Somebody put up with us, didn't they? Said somebody put up with us. Amen. And so it's just a part of soul winning. Amen. Praise God. Be tolerant, but at the same time, don't change not one iota of the Word of God. What did he say? My word is forever settled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Settle. Amen. I think I read something that he said, if you add to this book or take away from this book, that the curses of this book would be added to you. Folks, I'm just telling you, Christianity is very straight and very strong. There's been a big deal about this lately in the political arena. These guys are running for president. They're backpedaling every which direction because they don't want to take a stand. Huh? Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. That sounds kind of strong to me. Doesn't sound to me like there's a whole lot of room to wiggle there. Amen. So one of them just said, well, we're just not a Christian nation. That got him in hot water, so he started backpedaling the other way. Isn't it interesting, folks? Hey, it's all right just to go ahead and get some truth and hold on to it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. It was interesting, a couple of these guys, some of the more superstar preachers of the day, got a little moment in the sunshine. But they preach some of these intolerant things that's right out of the Word of God. And so the candidates started backing away from them. No, we can't have anybody that preaches like that. Amen. Praise you. You can't preach. You know that there's many roads that lead to heaven. You know how that is. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." You can still be straight and strong and believe truth, but be tolerant. Be kind. Be kind. Amen. Praise God. Be kind. Jesus was kind, wasn't he? He's kind to people. You know who was hard on? People that thought they had truth. People that believed that they knew the way and yet they loved their religion more than they loved truth. He was hard on them. People that love religion more than they love the truth. He was very hard on them. Amen. Let me hasten on here. I probably got a little off track, but I can wrap this up another hour or so. And we'll be ready to go. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, these preachers, they preach in adversity. They called them. What to do? Acts chapter 4, the Bible says they threatened them. And what did they do? They said, we cannot help but preach what we have seen and heard. And you know what? They went right back and started preaching it. So they arrested him again. And they put him in prison. And the church went to prayer. And while the church was praying, the Lord sent an angel and opened the door. And they got out of prison. And somebody went to the Sanhedrin and said, hey, you remember those old preachers you arrested yesterday? They're down at Solomon's Porch preaching again this morning. And so they went down there and they got him again. And this time, they really got stern this time. And they really told him, now you got to quit preaching in that name. Amen. And they did. They beat him. And when it says they beat, I know it's just a little short phrase there, but I'm telling you, friend, when you got a beating in those days, you got a beating. They took rods and they beat them with those rods until they were bruised and bleeding. And what did they do when they got out? The Bible said they went home rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And they went and they prayed for boldness to preach the word of the Lord. Well, you talk about giving the devil a nightmare. He can't handle people like that. Mm-mm. He can't handle people like that. They beheaded one of them. Amen. I never have figured all this out, and I never will. I don't know why God let James beheaded and delivered Peter. When you get that figured out, let me know, okay? How a just God let one man be beheaded, and the other one he set free. You know what? I've come to the conclusion, I'm not God. I'm fresh out of omniscience. And he said it just as plainly as it can be said. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. Amen. You know, we've got people that think, you know, faith is just telling God what to do, and he's got to do it because you said it. Because you got faith. Amen. I know a guy one time went down and ordered a brand new car with all the stuff on it, believing God when it got, he didn't have any money, but believed God when he got there, he'd have the money. Guess what? He didn't have the money. He didn't get the car, and he showed up as a fool. I know congregations that have built churches by faith. It's okay if you hear from God, but you better hear from God. You better hear from God. Amen. And don't go get those two things confused. Let me just give you something real important here today. Hey, it's not about you. It's about him. It's not about your reputation. Amen. You're not going to be judged when you get to the judgment throne about how many people are in your congregation. You're not going to be judged by how much money came in your offering plates. You're not going to be judged by the kind of building you worshiped in. You're going to be judged by what you believe and what you did with what he gave you. Amen. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many believe truth is powerful? Truth is powerful. He said the truth. You shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall set you free. Has that happened to anybody here tonight? Has that happened to anybody here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it still works. Amen. Praise God. I read about a young man. The Lord delivered him from drugs and alcohol and all the rest of it. And man, he was having a battle one day. He was walking along, and the devil was sitting on his shoulder, and he was trying to get him go smoke some marijuana. He was telling him how good it was. Hey, just one time. It won't hurt you, just one more time. And he was battling this, and Lord, help me. I don't want to go back. And he looked up and he saw a sign, said, keep off the grass. Amen. Just in time, he said, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And shouted a little bit right there in the park. Amen. I'm telling you, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I read about a man one time. This woman was looking for a chauffeur for her car. And so she would take the prospective drivers, and she would take them up on the mountain. And there was a ledge there that went around the shoulder of the mountain. And she would tell the driver, she'd say, I want to just get over just as close as you can to that ledge without falling off. And that just get as close as they could. She was riding with one man, and she said, now I want you to get over just as close as you can. He said, no, ma'am. He said, my job is to get you safely to your destination and not to take any chances with your life. And she said, you're hired. You're the one I'm looking for. I'm not looking for those that can get as close as they can without going off, but I'm looking for those that are just going to get just as far away from sin as they can. Amen. and say, I'm not in this thing to show people how brave I am, how close to sin I can get, but how far away from it I can. How as close to Jesus Christ as I can possibly get. That is my journey, and that is my purpose, and that is my destination. Amen. Praise God. Truth's powerful. It will set you free. I believe it will. I believe it will. Amen. I read in Brother Dross' book some time ago in Colombia. There was a man that was so bound by demons that he tried to commit suicide. And his family finally put him in an asylum. And he was locked in a padded room way down at the end of the hall. They asked Brother Bill Dross, said, will you go and pray for that young man? Do you believe your God can help him? He said, I know my God can help him. I'll go and we'll pray and we'll see what God will do. Brother Dross had never in his life been to that institution. But when he stepped in the door and started down the aisle of that hallway to the end of the hall where the young man was, those men that were in cells all around him began to chant with a demonic chant, Bill Dross, the Pentecost. Bill Dross, the Pentecost. You know why? Because Bill Dross, his name was known in hell. And those that were full of the spirit of the devil knew him. They had never met him. They had never heard his name. But he was a man that believed the truth. He was a man that preached the truth. He was a man that loved the truth. And hell knew him and feared. When he got down to the end of the hallway, he prayed for that young man. And God in his mercy and God in his grace did deliver him and set him free. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, the devil's worst nightmare is a church that believes what it believes. Is a church that experienced Acts 2:38 and will not budge from it. Amen. A church that will take a stand. Amen. Now, I'm going to say just a little bit about signs. Brother Grissom, we need signs. I agree, we need signs and miracles, but we need them in the right proportion. Jesus taught us how, didn't he? He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Believing is first, signs are second. Signs follow believers. Believers do not follow signs. That's a good way to be deceived. I have personally known people that followed signs and were deceived. Perhaps you remember Jim Jones of Guyana fame, the one that killed over 800 people, wasn't it? With poison Kool-Aid. Did you know that one time he was baptized in Jesus' name and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and God put a calling on his life to preach the truth? But you know what happened to Jim Jones? There was a sensational preacher that came by, and he got his eyes on him and signs and wonders and crowds and money and fame. And he followed that path. And it destroyed him. You don't follow signs. You don't follow signs. That's not biblical. I said that's not biblical. Did you know the Lord told... I'm quitting right here. I really am. I'm hurrying. Amen. I ain't got to preach in a long time. Amen. It's all bottled up. Amen. And so, I could save a little for later, right? But anyway, the Lord told Israel one time, he said, I will send false prophets among you. And he said, and they will do signs, for I will prove you to see if you will follow me. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, how do they do these things? Well, ever heard of the devil? God actually allows people to have some power. He does, because he's got it all. I said, he has it all. The devil doesn't have any power except what God gives him. Amen. He allows it. Amen. So what's the key here? The key is to love the truth. Love the truth. Love the truth. That's what gives the devil the nightmare. The Bible said he believes that there's one God, one God, one God, one God, one God, and he trembles. He knows truth. And that's what shakes him up. That's what gives him nightmares. Amen. That's what bothers him. That's what makes him tremble, is truth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Truth leads us to God, doesn't it? You remember that little lady that Jesus met by the well? In a little place called Samaria? She was confused. She said, our fathers say that we should worship God here in Samaria. You Jews teach that we should worship Him in Jerusalem. What do you say? And Jesus said, the hour will come, and now is, that men worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such that worship Him. Amen. Praise God. Truth will lead you to God. Truth will lead you to God. Truth will lead you to God. And truth will establish you in your way. Amen. Oh, I wish everybody could get a hold of this tonight. As we think about these things, all of us tonight know people that started out in this way, but they got sidetracked. They took detours. They got confused. Amen. There's a haunting scripture in the epistle that says this. The Bible says that we must love, not just know the truth, but love the truth. Love the truth. Because the Bible says that those that do not love the truth, and this is the frightening part, God would send them strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned. Do you know what's scary about that? Amen. You know what's scary about that? We live in a day, folks, when folks are getting swayed by a lot of things. We got to get a hold of this. We've got to, as we've said before, we've got to get the Word of God from here to here. It's great to have it here, but you got to get it here. You got to get it here. That's the most important journey that you'll ever make. Is to get truth from your head to your heart and love it and love it and love it. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Amen. Praise God. I say it one more time. When we stand before the judgment throne, God is not going to say how many people were in your congregation. How many millions of dollars was your building worth? How many people would it seat? How many choir members sang in your choir? How many members were in your church? How much were your offerings? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. What he's going to say is, well done, thou good and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful servant. Amen. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for truth, Lord. Help us to buy it, sell it not. Help us to get it deep in our hearts and love it. Amen. Help us to love Acts 2:38 in this day more than we've ever loved it before. Help us to proclaim it boldly. And yet you said, preach the truth in love. Amen. Let's have the right motive. Help us to have the right motive. Help us to preach it to save and not to wound, and not to gloat. Amen. Not to boast. But help us always to preach it with love. Amen. Preach it because it's a saving word. Preach it because it delivered us out of our sin. Preach it because it has kept us holy in an unrighteous world. We thank you today for truth, Jesus. Thank you for truth. Thank you for truth. Thank you for truth. Amen. I think it'd be good tonight if we'd just come and get a piece of this altar tonight. Amen. Let's come and just one more time settle it, shall we? Amen. Let's settle it tonight. Praise God. Amen. I thank you tonight, Jesus, for this truth. I thank you tonight for this truth. Oh, I don't know why you chose me, but I'm so glad you did. Out of 6.6 billion people on the planet Earth, I'm so glad you included me. I'm so glad that you chose me, Lord, and allowed me to be a part of this. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. I'm so glad I know Acts 2:38. Amen. I know about the power of repentance. I know about the power of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I'm glad I know about the watery grave when the waters of baptism washed all of my sins away and allowed me to stand pure in the presence of Almighty God. I thank you tonight. I thank you tonight. I thank you tonight. Oh, yes. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you for truth. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you for purity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. Long ago. The old account was settled long ago. And my record is clear today. Because he washed all my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Long ago. Yes, long ago. The old account was settled long ago. And my record is clear today, 'cause he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Long ago, hallelujah. Yes, long ago. The old account was settled long ago, and my record is clear today, 'cause he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Long ago. Aren't you glad you got some things settled? Praise God. There are some decisions that you have to make every day. You have to decide whether you're going to get out of bed or not. You have to decide what side you're going to get up on. You have to decide whether you're going to be grumpy or be happy. You have to decide if you're going to eat breakfast. You have to decide what you're going to eat. You have to decide what you're going to wear. Amen. But there are some things you don't have to decide every day. There's some things you can just settle. Amen. You can just say, well, you know what? For me, it's Jesus. Amen. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to walk with Him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I made up my mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord and feel the presence of God? And it's good to know the truth, isn't it? Aren't you blessed tonight? I'm so blessed. I feel so blessed. I thank God for this. I thank God for it. Amen. It's not enough to be thankful. I need to also share it and let folks know. Praise God. That's what the devil hates. That's what gives him a nightmare. A church that knows the truth, loves the truth, goes on with the truth, and tells everybody else about the truth. Amen.